May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing Christ will send them down. 897.
of the Word of God is from the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 17. The chapter 17 of the Gospel as recorded by John. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. May he bless to us each the reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. O Lord, grant us humility and godly fear, a reverence of thy holy name. And Lord, grant to us that blessed influence and teaching of the Holy Spirit, that we may pray, Lord, according to that instruction and teaching. Bless us also with living faith in our coming to thee. Oh, may we be found, Lord, in that word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But we pray in Jesus' name, all our prayers, and all our praise is rightly offered in his name. He that dictates them is Jesus. He that answers is the same. We do pray too for the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit in our worship, for that is the purpose thou hast spared us and brought us together. And we would worship in spirit and in truth, for that, Lord, is the only worship which is acceptable to thee. And we pray, Lord, also for the gracious presence and influence of the Lord Jesus. Oh, make one in our midst also, Lord, whether in the pew, in the desk, or in a pulpit, may we be as one, Lord. We have read in that intercessory prayer of the oneness between the church, Christ, and the Father in glory. May we feel that oneness now, Lord. Oh, it is a mercy and a mystery. But Lord, that is what we desire in this sanctuary this evening. To feel a oneness, one in things spiritual, one in things gracious, and one with Christ Jesus in the midst. Oh, come this night into this thy house, and bind us together, Lord, with the cords of love, and grant to us, we pray thee, that entrance into the word of truth. Very precious are the words that we have read. O Lord, the last prayer, as it were, before the sufferings of Jesus. Precious words. O Lord, are we found in them? Are we in that blessed prayer? O Lord, and we have read of those that shall be blessed through the ministry of the apostles. And so the church continued from those days of the apostles till now. And Lord, are we the children and people of God? And this we pray for, Lord, because it is so vital and essential to know these things in our own soul. Lord, having Jesus, we have an immense store. But Lord, there is a union between the Father and the Son and the Church, and it's indissolvable. can never be changed, can never be erased. Lord, it's once in him forever. Thus the eternal covenant runs. None shall pluck thee from the strength of Israel's hand. Lord, what do we read in the hymn book? In union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Lord, we pray for this, Lord, to be manifested more. Lord, we do seek as we remember those that are gathered here, Lord. And there are those that are young here, young people and children. Lord, they are brought into this world of sin and woe, found amongst the children of God by joining together in the services of God's house. It will be the mercy, Lord, if they are bound to God's people by cords of love. It will be a mercy, Lord, if they are one with those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It will be a great mercy, Lord, if those that are here, that are young now, may grow in years and time and be useful in the Church of Christ. Lord, we do pray thou would manifest who are thine. Lord, and we do seek that those who are here by natural birth may one day be here by spiritual birth. We read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We do seek that evidence of union, that union of love one to another in the things of God, and Lord, to the precious Saviour of sinners. Be mindful, Lord, we pray thee, of this sanctuary, the little church we commend to thee and pray for it, united together in prayer one for another. Lord, may there be that seeking evidence, Lord, of thy Spirit working and remaining amongst them. We pray, Lord, for those who hold office and grant them all the grace they feel to need. We would be mindful, Lord, of one many miles away from home. Lord, not out of sight of thee, nor out of mind either, Lord. And we do especially pray at this time for his safe journeys home. Lord, thou knowest those things which have come to pass in these few days. Lord, and oh, the need of seeking grace and mercy. Lord, but watch over him, whether on the ground or in the air. Lord, bring him home safely to tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour he has found. Be sure there's much prayer put up for him. Lord, and we think of those words in the psalm, even there. And Lord, wherever he is and wherever he shall be, and Lord, may thy watchful care be over him and his, and bring them together again, Lord, tomorrow, if this could be thy will. We would remember too those who are not here, and as we know not who, Lord, and who are not here, we commend them to thee. And we think, Lord, of afflictions keep thy people from the sanctuary. But be very mindful of them, Lord, because they're not bound to place. Visit such in their own homes, Lord, and teach them the good way of grace and mercy. Lord, may there be a little union in their own homes between their souls and thee. May a sinner and a saviour come together. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those in the midst of life. The heat and burden of the day rests upon them, responsibilities. Lord, in thy mercy, Lord, support them and uphold them. But oh, may they lose sight of time things. Lord, the Lord Jesus reminds us one thing is needful. And Lord, we do pray that thou shut Satan and the world out of the mind and out of the house of God while the services of thy house continue. Lord, hear prayer then for those, Lord, that are in old age or in increasing years as they approach old age. Lord, how true it is, the mud-walled cottage shakes. Very many remind us, Lord, but stability, Lord, not of natural things, stability of spiritual things. Lord, those who are built on the rock Christ Jesus are built on stability. Lord, how, what a mercy that though all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. Remember the ministry in this place, Lord, from time to time, and provide further calls. We seek, Lord, that it may be a ministry that glorifies Jesus, and that speaks well of him, Lord, that is sent of God to be the means of blessing to never dying souls. Oh, what a need to pray for the ministry, Lord, that it may be a ministry that comes where thy people are. Lord, we think of those words in the book of Judges. One said to another, I have a message of God for you. And Lord, we pray that as thy servants stand in this pulpit, that that may be the divine authority of them coming, the commissioning that thou dost give them. And the proving, Lord, is in the blessing of that word, as they seek to preach, may the Holy Spirit apply the word. And so may it be proved that, Lord, the hand of God is in the ministry in this place. But we would not forget all thy servants. But Lord, in their labours, encourage them in this discouraging age. And we do ask too that thou wilt send labourers more. We seek this blessing and favour, Lord. Labourers more. What a sign, Lord, of mercy to these, to our churches. What a token for good, Lord, for the Church of Christ and Zion. Lord, what an answer of prayer that would be. Faithful servants, sent of God, to preach the everlasting gospel. Lord, we do seek to remember in our prayers those in affliction's path. Lord, it is, Lord, with this in mind that we would remember those that are in deep affliction, that are drawing near to the end of their life. Lord, not for them, it will be not for them, but an eternity before them. No healing mercy now. Lord, the exercise of the living people of God, Lord, are also to be found in the afflictions. And Lord, bring them safe home to glory at last. Let not Satan trouble them or try them, Lord, at this time. But help them to rest in the promise God has made, in all things ordered well for them. And there are those, Lord, also that are in bereavement. Oh, gracious God, that will sanctify such pathways. And as we remember, Lord, the afflicted and the bereaved, we do seek to be prepared for such things. Lord, it is by one or other means, Lord, we shall come into these times. Lord, do prepare us for such pathways, Lord, and may we prove that in walking them out thou art with us. Lord, we've looked at that word, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, help thee. Lord, we do pray to feel that in all the walks of life. But we do ask, Lord, that especially in affliction's path or in bereavement's path, we may have that support and strength given, and each that walk in that path. Lord, we remember the young people. But Lord, may we not forget to pray that thou would bless them in their souls. Lord, may they be praying young people. Lord, may they be found in that description. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Oh, we do seek this. Lord, it may be but providence to commence. Lord, that's the way many of thy children have been brought to thee in providential matters. But oh, how valuable is a soul, and how important is atonement, forgiveness, pardon. How important is the sacrifice and an interest in that sacrifice. What a wonderful mercy to pray for assurance. What a wonderful mercy to possess assurance. Lord, it is to be prayed for. And Lord, we read in the psalm, for this that is godly, and shall pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, may there be those, though young and years, may they be brought to pray for forgiveness. Lord, we live in very evil times. Preserve the truth to us. Protect the truth. Continue the open Bible that we have and a means of grace. Let not the enemies of the truth prevail against it. Oh, Lord, those that would seek to overturn these gracious blessings, we pray that thou overturn them. And then, Lord, we pray for this nation. What can we say, Lord, as we view the depths of iniquity? Lord, the vile sins of this nation. We see the judgments that thou dost pour upon us. Oh, how true it is, Lord, we are undeserved of mercy. But, Lord, remember the prayers of the people of God. And, Lord, maintain to us this liberty and the blessings that we have. Lord, at this particular junction in its history, Lord, may we pray aright in these things. Lord, when we hear the wisdom of men, when we see the foolishness of men, and when we hear their boastings, Lord, of what they're going to do, Lord, there's not one evidence of the fear of God in their language, nor let alone in their heart. Lord, are there those, Lord, that care for the nation? Are there those, Lord, that have the fear of the Lord there? Are there those that cannot see their own wisdom as being sufficient, but are brought to seek wisdom from him who giveth to all men sufficient wisdom? Lord, it is a perplexing time, and it is an anxious time, Lord. But may the will of the Lord be done. May submission to thy will be granted. But Lord, at the same time, remember thy one people. Lord, and maintain the privileges that we enjoy. Now look upon us in mercy. Lord, thou seest where there's a seeking soul. Thou seest, Lord, whether that grain of faith works. Thou seest those that hope in thy mercy. Lord, thou seest those that have, Lord, to have another seeking time. Lord, bless thy people. Assure them. Lord, confirm them in the way everlasting. Lord, we do pray for thy mercy then this night. We draw from thee what we need. We've nothing in ourselves. But Lord, thou art an all-sufficient God. Now pardon all our sins and wash the prayers that are offered in the blood of Jesus. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. 746.
Thank you.
dependent entirely on the Lord for his help. We would ask your attention to the reading, the 17th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter and verse 24. 24th verse, 17th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by John. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. These words in this Gospel from the 14th to this 17th chapter precedes that solemn occasion when the Lord of life and glory was apprehended of men and brought to his extreme suffering and death. And yet the words that are in this 24th verse are really in complete agreement one upon the other. In the 14th chapter we have those words respecting the purpose of Christ Jesus in salvation. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there, of course, the dear Lord Jesus was speaking of the vital necessity of redemption and atonement, of which he then was about to enter into. What lay before Christ was Calvary, and through his going to Calvary, and by his going to Calvary, that word of promise was to be fulfilled. And here in this 24th verse, all that is settled in eternal glory was to be made known on earth by his suffering and by his death. And it's a wonderful word, you know, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And when you consider those words, the vital importance of it, but the mercy of those words. Who is he talking about? Who is he praying for? We read again in the 14th chapter, because I live, ye shall live also. Who's he talking about? Sinners. Vile, hell-deserving sinners. So what's the difference between these sinners and all sinners? Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. That is all. There's not a scrap, not a finger, not a desire of the flesh, of the natural man, nothing. It is of sovereign grace and of sovereign grace alone that these words are spoken, and are spoken to those whom thou hast given me. There is a decree here, isn't there, that's gone forth from all eternity. that believers shall be raised up from the Adam fall. Sinners that deserve endless misery shall be appointed unto salvation. The choice is not yours nor mine. The choice is God's. Whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. In the same gospel we read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I find those words to be as absolutely true as it is. Some of you may feel there's a restriction upon them. But there isn't. What I mean by that, of course, is this. Some of us have been brought into the depths of the fall of our own nature, our fallen nature, I mean. And it is a wonder of wonders that these words apply to such. This isn't respectable sinners. This is hell-deserving sinners that he mentions here. Sinners that have been separated before the world began by a holy Father, separated because the Father's love was placed upon them, separated before they were ever born, and given unto Christ to redeem through his sacrifice and through his blood. I will that they also that thou hast given me. And there's not one scrap of merit to be found in any one of these that are given. They're not better. They're not because they're brought up under the sound of the truth. They are as far from God by nature as sheep can roam. But you see, wherever they will roam, and wherever they're found in the broad way that leads to destruction, there will be a day when the command from glory will go forth, thus far and no further. Wonderful mercy if you and I are in this word. And if you have any concern, it will be the indication that you are in this word. It's no good looking at your good works and what you've done. It's no good looking at your profession. It's no good looking at your merits. The place where peace and pardon is to be found, it's not on grounds of what men can do and will do. It's what Christ has done and what Christ will do. Father, I will that I also, and thou hast given me, be with me where I am. And I thought, you know, since thinking of these words, every seeking soul, never mind whether they have been in a profession, whether they have, as through love and mercy, put Christ on by an open profession. But every seeking soul, every one that has a work of grace begun in the soul, surely if you could answer, you would answer this, wouldn't you? This is the blessing that you would seek for. They also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Doesn't only apply to glory. Doesn't only apply to that. Of course, I believe in this respect it does apply to that glorious time when for redeemed sinners eternal glories of heaven shall be entered into. But surely a child of God also, whilst he travels this pilgrim way, will seek this blessing and favour to be known by him. I will that they also, and thou hast given me, be with me where I am. What is the greatest blessing in God's house is a people that have brought Christ in with them, and whom Christ has brought into God's house. You know, one of the most favoured blessings at all times is not chapel full of people, so much as the Lord Jesus Christ amongst them. That is the presence, that is the presence which will bring the blessing when you've been where Christ is. And where Christ has been where you've been. I will that thou also now hast given me be with me where I am. And surely some of those sacred times fly in complete opposition to nature. Have you not known, some of you, have you not known those times when it would seem in a natural view of things that it's the most unusual place or the most unexpected place? But you see, the Lord blesses his people with his presence. And it may be in infirmity, it may be in affliction. There's a hymn which I shan't get right, I know, but it's got something like this in it. Dost thou know the place, the spot of ground where Jesus did thee meet? And it may not be in a sanctuary of God, it may not be in your own home, but it may be in times of sorrow or times of affliction, beds of affliction. But you see, that's the blessing, and I'm not reversing the word. The word says, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. But has he brought you into places where he is? Has he delivered you from the broad way that leads to destruction? Has he brought you into the ways of grace as well as to the means of grace? When the apostle, or when Saul of Tarsus was stopped on the Damascus road, and there he was heading, as it were, into Damascus with instructions to hail men and women to prison and possibly to death, the Lord stopped him. There was a spot of ground outside Damascus where eternal mercy said, thus far and no further. And you know, that's where the Lord's presence was to be, and he brought Saul of Tarsus to that place. If you read in the book of Genesis of the time when Jacob left his parents' home and he alighted upon a place where he slept a night, a place that he afterwards called Bethel. And what was it at Bethel? That visitation, that vision of a ladder set up on earth which reached to heaven. The angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord spoke from heaven into his heart. What a blessed impression it made upon him. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Oh, it's places where Jesus Christ is that he'll bring his people. I will that I also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Have you surely search your mind, go back over your pathway seeking soul? Has there been some places where the Lord's been and you've been brought there? It's a place of blessing. It's a place of humility. It's a place of godly fear. The Lord brought Moses to the burning bush. He turned aside to see this wonderful sight, a bush that burned but wasn't consumed. The Lord was there. And he spoke to him out of the bush. Draw not nigh hither. Take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You see, the Lord is not tied to places. Oh, to have him in God's house. May the glory of Christ fill the sanctuary and soften our hearts and bring us to wonder at the mercy. But you know, there is a spot of ground where the Lord's people will come together with the person of Christ Jesus, and it will be a sacred spot. And I tell you this, you'll never forget that occasion. You'll never forget it. It could be the most unusual place, a most peculiar spot. It may not be, as it were, a stable place on earth. It may be as you're travelling. The Lord draws near to your soul. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. But then you see, there's profit in these being brought together. Blessed prophet, sacred prophet, benefits to the soul. eternal mercies. You see, that's one of the clearest evidences of God's sovereignty. One of the mercies of a work of grace, that it is to bring a sinner to a saviour. And it's to bring a saviour to a sinner. And I don't say that in light, any light way, of course. But it will bring a poor sinner to where Christ is. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. But just for a moment, turning aside from the pathways of sovereign grace here on earth, we must indeed trace out, if the Lord will help us, to indeed that glorious abode in heaven. Because that is the purpose of his coming on earth. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And having come into the earth in a body like our own, for the purpose of dying, so it is for the purpose of salvation. Where the Lord has a purpose of mercy to your soul, whoever you are, he'll prepare you for that time when you shall know him whom to know aright is life eternal. There is what we might describe here as divine preparation time. Every saint of God, redeemed with Jesus' blood, atoned for by the Saviour on the cross at Calvary, is prepared by grace for the eternal glories of heaven. There shall we see his face, and never sin, and from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. But these times and seasons have a preparation time. As I said, the work of grace is the preparation time. We sing, don't we, at times, and we should sing it more often, especially the more older we get. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. That work is God's work. But you see, these visits and times and seasons we may look at in this 24th verse have preparation times. Those who know what it is, I try to speak here tonight to those who I would describe as seeking souls. You know that account in the 8th chapter of the book of the Acts, how that Philip was sent to that desert place, to one that was a eunuch. He was a seeker. Read in the 53rd of Isaiah, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? That was the exercise of his heart. That was the question that he put to the apostle. And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, dear friends, if you and I are found under the divine teaching of grace, it will have this desire, this exercise, and this mercy to seek after, that you might know him, that you might have him revealed to you, that he might show himself a God of grace and mercy. The preparation time may be painful, will be painful. Without a shadow of a doubt, it will be painful. What preparation time? Well, don't you read, you say, in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, 3 days, 3 nights, Saul of Tarsus was in that house, and all the scripture says is this, behold, he prayeth. And yet in 3 days and 3 nights, there was a day of blessing prepared, a day of revelation though. And he entered into it, into the enjoyment of it. And having received strength, we read, he went and preached Christ, that he is the Son of God. What preparation time does he deal therefore with his people? A work of grace is a preparation time. What preparation time does he work in his people that they might know something of him as the sinner's only friend and advocate? That he's the only means and way of peace and pardon to your soul? How do you know the way of salvation until you know you're lost? That divine work, you see, he said in the 14th of John, I am the way, the truth and the life. But until you are brought into a condition which must surely be revealed as being totally hopeless, helplessly lost, the cry of the jailer was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The cry of the publican was, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And subsequently and continually in the lives and walk and pathways of divine teaching, the Lord prepares the heart, the spiritual heart, for the blessing of salvation. Now he'll do it by convincing of sin. It brings a sinner in need of a saviour. There's a question for you. It brings a sinner in need of a saviour. Mine, thine's alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission, all thy goodness do thee good. Sins within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. There's not a half a work done. There's not a bypass in the work of salvation. Don't you sing, convince me of my sin and lead to Jesus' blood? And do you wonder sometimes when he's pleased to answer that cry and bring you into a fresh knowledge and a deep acquaintance with the evil state of your own natural heart? This is not something that a natural man experiences. This is what a spiritual man experiences. This is a part of the divine will of God and of his Son Jesus Christ. I'm sure you don't need to be told, but Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the apostle added, for whom I am the chief. And that's the method and way, if I might put it so simply, but I trust also honestly, that those who know something of a saviour will know much of their own state and condition. I will that they also, thou hast given me, be with me where I am. We reminded you when we started a moment ago about the word in the 14th of John, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, the simple truth is, isn't it, is that as he came into the world to save sinners, so he went to Calvary to atone for sinners, his own blessed people, these that the Father had given him. I will that they also, and thou hast given me, to those characters. He went and atoned for their sin, paid the price which was due to them, so that they should not eternally die under the condemnation of God, that they should never conclude there, or they should never be found in eternal woe, for eternal mercies will be found upon them. But you see, if you have any value, and I mean it in a spiritual sense, any value in your soul to a precious Jesus, it will because that you've been made on the one hand a lost and poverty-stricken sinner before you know the riches of his grace and brought into an interest in his sufferings, death and resurrection. Father, I will that I also, and thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Such a work, therefore, must go on and will go on till every believer is taken home to glory at last, and then time shall be no more. Now the witness of this truth, dear friends, is to be found in your soul and mine. If the witness of this truth is there, then you have a place in glory. And the life of God, which is the grace of God in the soul, it will be manifested by your walk and by your conversation, and it will be manifested also by your desire and your seeking spirit for mercy. What do we find in Holy Scripture that gives us any indication of a work of grace? You see, there are those who thought they were on the road to heaven by their generosity in life. I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice in the week. I thank God I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. Now you see, that was his certificate for heaven, on the grounds of his goodness. So he deserved eternal mercies. But you see, eternal mercies are not granted on the grounds of goodness of the sinner. What is there in me to merit esteem or give thee my Creator delight? 'Tis even so, Father, we ever must sing, for so it seemed good in thy sight. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And I go again, I say again, dear friends, every blessed soul under divine grace ever seeks this mercy continually while they pilgrim their way through this world. They ever seek this mercy that they may be found where Jesus is. And I mean that in experience first. In experience first. And what will bring them there but mercy and love and grace? That will what bring them there. They'll come and into the knowledge of this glorious person as he is revealed to them. There's a very sweet word again in this gospel in the previous chapter. And it's a sure word for those dear souls in those days, of course. First of all, in those days of the sufferings of Jesus, it was a sure word for his dear people. And it's a comforting word to those in those days, and it's a blessed word to say to the people and children of God. What word? And might we pick up, if I might use that expression now, those that have known this pathway of blessing. Those that have evidences, or shall we say experiences, of visits of Christ, or his presence with them, and his supporting hand and arm. But might I also find amongst us surely those who long for a visit again. Those who look back on their early days of spiritual experience and would that it was so to them today. So this word that is in the 16th chapter. Ye now therefore have sorrow. And a believer in Jesus has sorrow. It's soul trouble that brings sorrow. And whether it is in that the divine teaching of the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things, and he'll bring your soul into sorrow. And the remedy to that sorrow is a revealed Jesus. But it is also a word that is to be experienced by those who have once known times of blessing and favour. Where is that blessing, the hymn says, isn't it, that they once enjoyed? And the hymn goes on to say, return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. I'm talking about those who have once known the joy of believing, or have once known and felt in their own soul those seasonable times when they've walked as it were, in the footsteps of the flock. But now time has gone on, experience has deepened, and there's distress. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Father, I will that they also, thou hast given me, be with me where I am. To those believers that are being prepared for glory, this is the promise of heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, as I've already said, divine grace prepares those souls for glory. And what a blessed congregation that will be, won't it? One cannot put words together, neither can one really explain what it must be. We sing of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed. But what must it be to be there? Father, I will they also now give me, be with me where I am. I've often said, and that's my interpretation, I hope it's right, but that word in the 14th of John explains to me what glory is to be, how glory is to be understood. In those few words in the third verse, that where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And I don't know, as you read Holy Scripture, so you see the description of that Emmanuel's land, and so on, and I don't doubt one second of it, nor one word of it, but that word seems to me to exactly describe heaven. And you and I are travelling home to God if we are gracious souls or seeking souls. But will there not be, and has there not been, those times when you felt in your very soul it's like a little heaven below? And why has it been? Because your pathway and Christ has come together. Your pathway may be, in the last verse of the previous chapter, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, when the Lord's dear people are in tribulation, and like those two that walked to Emmaus, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And you know, when a sinner and a saviour comes together, and that by revelation I mean, then it's like a touch of heaven. A touch of heaven. I will that they also, and thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now, as we said, a work of divine grace will prepare the soul for such a place. And the work of Jesus Christ in glory, on Calvary, will bring to pass these words. Because no sinner will ever get to glory unless he's redeemed with Jesus' blood and his sins washed away. But the work of grace, the work of the Holy Spirit now, is to bring that sinner into the need of that mercy. Oh, him that quickens souls into divine life, by grace you are saved, through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In the bringing that sinner into the knowledge of sin, brings him into the need of Jesus Christ. No sinner, unless convinced of sin, have ever been brought to seek after Christ. But it brings the sinner to a saviour, doesn't it? And that's the mercy of these words. I will that they also now has given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Many souls would, or many people, shall we call them, describe the glory of God in creation. But they would say, if they have a mind to the beautiful places on earth, that they say that there in creation you can see God's glory. But you see, if they look a little closer, you'll find a curse on the creation. You'll find something that will be the evidence of God's curse on the earth. But it's not creation, but regeneration that will bring a knowledge of the glory of Christ, where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Now, in the creation of this world, the Trinity spoke and it was done. He spake, it was done, and so on. But in the way of new creation, that's where you'll see the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And that will be the praise, the eternal praise of the people of God throughout eternity, unto him that has loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, when you read, or when you are instructed of God, the Holy Spirit, as to the ways of redemption, but into the purposes of the pathway of suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is bringing about and has brought about in the pathway of the people of God a sight of his glory. That's a wonderful consideration, dear friends, when you have a view of Jesus, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. We read in the 17th chapter this word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And I was going to say, that's the words of Christ Jesus in what I feel is a very simple, a very profound way of explaining eternal mercies. The knowledge of life, this is the evidence of life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. What a solemn revelation is the only true God to a sinner. When you know something of that holy true God, that only true God, you will know his holiness, his justice, and you will fear his holiness and his justice. When you think that the thought of foolishness is sin, when you consider that truth, and you know something of the frown that God will make you know upon sin and iniquity, dear friends, you'll know the holiness of God in a measure that you can fear and tremble under. But you see, life eternal is not to perish, to bring to his people a way of perishing, but life eternal is to the knowledge of sins forgiven and pardoned and a place in glory for them. The wages of sin is death, so it is recorded, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if creation brought glory to God, new creation, regeneration, atonement, pardon, forgiveness, and an interest in the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will bring glory to him and humility to you. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What profound language this is, as Christ is in prayer to his Father, to God. But he speaks too of the bond here, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And if you go back and read this chapter, as you may be inclined to do so from time to time, you will find something there which brings the church and Christ together. And it is found in that word, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, in the eternity of God, and in that before the foundation of the world, and one must understand it as faith is given, If there's a love, as there is a love, rather, as there is a love between the Trinity, one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you see, that is the foundation of the salvation of God's church here on earth and in glory at last. Do you know anything about that gracious blessing of an interest in the love of the Trinity? That thou lovest me before the foundation of the world? What a blessed consideration or meditation that one may have upon this very remarkable and yet sacred word, because there is that bond between the Trinity, that they are co-equal and co-eternal. But you see, there is also a bond between the Church and the Trinity, and that's the bond of love. I've often tried to explain it like this. If you can find the purpose of God in salvation in your soul, you'll come to this one conclusion, and it is love. Unto him that has loved us and has washed us from our sins in his blood. In the 13th chapter of this gospel, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And in the 15th chapter, we read this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So you see, in this precious word, speaking of the love of the Trinity, it is that same love which is indeed to be known by the Church of Christ. Those who have walked the commandments of Jesus Christ has walked them, if they walk them rightly, they walk them out of love to Jesus Christ. The apostle speaks, the love of Christ constraineth us. For love of me, the hymn says, doesn't it, in the 153rd hymn and in the second part of that beautiful hymn, for love of me. We may just turn to it before we finish. The Son of God drained every drop of vital blood. Long time I after idols ran, but now my God's a martyred man. Well, we must leave the word. Father, I will that thou also thou hast given me be with me where I am, that I may behold my glory. When you read the will of God, when you read the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know you're reading something which has an eternal stamp upon it, and that has the eternal authority of God on it. The poor children of God are often brought into fear, lest they should be found destitute at last. But you see, that bond which is between the Trinity and between the Church is an indissolvable bond. In the in the 15th of John? No, it's in the 10th of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we find a most certain word. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There is the foundation of this blessed 24th verse. This is the evidence of the will of God, and none shall pluck them out of his Father's hand. Well, may this word, may it be a comfort to some sinner. That's my one desire, that it may be a comfort to somebody who has been caused to doubt or to be distressed or to be troubled as to the stability of their salvation. May this word be applied with comfort and consolation. Amen.
I'm sorry to have to announce that through illness, Mr. Cornford is unable to be with us next Lord's Day. So at the present time, God willing, there'll be reading services. And Mr. Pocock is expected to preach next Tuesday. Hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
O Lord, to own and bless thine own word, and forgive and pardon all that has been amiss in thine eyes. Now take us to our homes in peace, and abide with us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, remain with us now and always. Amen.